Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, February the 16th, 2024. 12 minutes past the hour. And remember, it's February, but properly pronounced February. Now, we have a guest coming up here in just a couple minutes, but remember, it's going to be a big day here at WGH, starting at 9:15 this morning and running through 11 a.m. this morning. We're going to be joined by Matt Morgan, but we're also going to be joined, as I've teased all week, by someone who is making their return to radio with me. This person used to be on with me once a week, but has not been on at all in 12 years. I believe the last time they were on with me was, it was either June or July of 2012. So June, July of 2012 through February of 2024, 12 years since they've been on. How does that happen? We'll have to talk about that when they get in here at 9:15. Then, of course, we have Pastor Craig at 11:15 this morning telling you what's going on in Marion. I'm sure he'll talk about the eclipse because that's the biggest thing. Although I hear people are changing their travel plans because the weather might not cooperate. We'll have to talk about that as the morning goes on. Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, and myself will be along at 12:15 for the Exchange Club. Then at 1 o'clock, Study His Word, a great program from Pastor Craig here on the station. And then tonight, here on the station, we have Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, myself, Friday Night Live, 8:15 until 10 p.m. That's always a fun show. And following that show tonight will be the special interview that Matt Morgan has conducted. Now, this is really Matt's first big interview. It will air tonight at 10:15 p.m. till 11, following the Friday Night Live show, so have all the fun of the Friday Night Live show, and this special interview will air tonight. And as I've said, I don't want to steal Matt's thunder when it comes to this, so I'm not going to announce who it is, but Matt will be in here, I believe, this morning, starting at 9:15, along with our other surprise today. And we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. I don't think anybody would ever guess either of these people. I don't think anybody's going to guess who Matt has on, although I think it's certainly something worth listening to. And I don't think anybody's going to guess who our guest is going to be starting at 9:15 this morning. So that will also be fun. But remember, 9:15 this morning, somebody who has not been on with me for 12 years, my goodness, more than a decade, who used to be on every week with me. And Matt's person is really Matt's first big interview, and it's ready to go. So I am completely proud of him in regard to this, because it took persistence to get this person, which is half of this game. You got to get him to agree to do the interview, and then you got to do the interview and be able to string it out over a period of time and ask the right questions. So we'll talk to Matt and see what his feeling is on how he did. So we're all excited for what's going to happen as the morning goes on here this morning. And really the day, because a lot of this will happen tonight after the Friday Night Live program. But you never want to miss that program, 8:15 to 10. That is just a lot of fun. It truly is. It's just a lot of fun to come in here on Friday night with really no agenda about what we're going to talk about and just really have a good time. It doesn't get any better than that. And again, you can download the free TuneIn app to listen to any of these programs. It's absolutely free. Search WGH Talk on any mobile device, smart television, laptop, anything you have. Or you can go to the website and listen live, WWGH1071.com. So those are the places to go, and that's how you can listen all over the world. And I know we have people listening in Florida. I know we have people listening in Idaho. We get a lot of calls from other places. So we're very glad of the scope of our audience and a lot of people listening in Columbus outside the Marion area. Now, earlier in the week on Monday, we had the 67th governor of the state of Ohio, Bob Taft, on, and it was an interesting interview, and it's always great when you can have a former governor on the program. And this week, as we lead up to President's Day with all the news going on, it is so great, as we started the week with Governor Bob Taft, to end the week with one of my favorite people. He is one of the most gracious people. No matter what your party affiliation is or where you stand on the issues, this man has been absolutely gracious to me over the years. He's made a few trips to Marion when I've asked him to do it, and has come on the program to discuss things with us that are very important. And I will tell you, people enjoy the interviews because to get the opinion of a former governor, much like Bob Taft or Dick Celeste, is important when talking about issues with people we know, which we are going to do today, and issues dealing with the state from somebody who's been the top executive at the state. So I'm going to stop talking so we can bring on, again, one of the most gracious people I've ever known, the 68th governor of the state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, how are you?
Well, Scott, I'm fine, and I hope you and all of your listeners are doing well on this beautiful but cold winter day.
Thank you, Governor Strickland. Want to get right into it because, boy, there are a lot of issues going on in the world right now, and I want to start on the state level, and I'm going to read this just to make sure that we get all the info in, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and get your feelings on this, dealing with First Energy and our Governor Mike DeWine. Now, here's the story. Putting Sam Randazzo on the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio could go down as one of the biggest mistakes of Mike DeWine's governorship. DeWine named Randazzo to the powerful board in early 2019 despite being warned that Randazzo was too close to Akron-based First Energy. Randazzo received a $4.3 million payment from First Energy shortly before DeWine picked him, a payment that DeWine's top aide knew about but failed to tell him the details of. Now this is a quote. "I'm not worried about my legacy," DeWine said on Wednesday. "Look, we all make mistakes. Every call I make as governor is not right. I do the best I can. I base it on the facts that I have." Shortly after they were elected, DeWine and Lieutenant Governor-elect John Husted took a private dinner meeting with Jones and Dowling, who were the lobbyists who were lobbying for Randazzo, at the Athletic Club of Columbus in December of 2018. At the dinner, according to state prosecutors, the executives pressed DeWine to consider appointing Randazzo as PUCO chairman. A First Energy lobbyist and longtime DeWine advisor offered tips on how to lobby him, explaining things like DeWine doesn't know anything about it and be surprised when he does. 6 years later, Governor DeWine doesn't recall Randazzo's name coming up at the dinner, and he still maintains that appointing Randazzo, an experienced energy attorney, made sense at the time. Here's another quote. "I was looking for someone who was really a subject matter expert in the area of utilities," DeWine said Tuesday. "There was no one who knew more frankly about it than Sam Randazzo." During the PUCO appointment process, DeWine's then chief of staff, Laurel Dawson, learned that Randazzo had received a $4.3 million payment from First Energy, according to the indictment. Dawson also received a 198-page report from interested parties opposed to Randazzo leading the PUCO. FBI agents were seen outside 645 South Grand Avenue in Columbus, which is owned by PUCO Chairman Sam Randazzo. However, the governor said he didn't learn of the $4.3 million until the FBI searched Randazzo's Columbus condo in November 2020. Why didn't Dawson tell DeWine about the payment in January 2019 as he considered appointing Randazzo? Here's the final quote. "You have to ask her," the governor said on Wednesday. Well, Governor Strickland, that's a lot, but what do you make?
Well, it truly is a lot. And there's many things that I could say about what you've just read to us. But I want to go back to 08 and 09 when I was in office. And we proposed and eventually passed a major energy bill, restructuring energy policy in Ohio, and eventually all of the major utilities came on board and worked with us, except one, and that one was First Energy. And I want to tell you, I've always considered First Energy to be a thuggish company. I've watched them across the years use threats and intimidation and money to get whatever they wanted at the Columbus State House. It has been that way for decades. And so I wasn't surprised when eventually, you know, they say what goes around comes around, and I think First Energy and the leadership of First Energy and their high-powered lobbyists, justice is coming their way. And I don't feel one bit of sympathy for them, because for years that company has controlled the Ohio State House. And I think I'm the only governor that ever really stood up to them. But I stood up to them, and we won, and we got an energy bill passed. And Scott, unfortunately, when I left office and the new administration came in, all the necessary reforms, like a renewable energy standard and all that, were just wiped out. And I think it was because of the influence of First Energy. But getting back to the current situation and what you've just read to us, some people ought to lose their jobs. And I can't imagine working. I hate to be really critical of Governor DeWine. I really do, because I have a level of real respect for this guy. But I can't imagine saying you have to ask.
Nope. Governor Strickland, are you still there? Oh, I think we might have lost Governor Strickland. We'll get him back here momentarily, but it's an interesting conversation, this whole issue with First Energy. And I think Governor Strickland is going to elaborate more on this when we get him back here in a second, because I think he was talking about Mike DeWine's quote, in which he says, "You'll have to ask her. I don't know how this all happened." So we'll get Governor Strickland back here momentarily. You know, sometimes during a live interview, those things happen and we just lose connection, but we're going to pick Governor Strickland back up now. Governor Strickland?
I have no idea what happened.
No. Well, we heard you right up until you were saying you could not believe Governor DeWine saying you'll have to ask her.
My gosh, I cannot imagine. First of all, I cannot imagine when I was governor as my staff keeping vital, important information from me. I just can't imagine that happening. I can't imagine me considering someone for an important position like the PUCO chairmanship and a member of my staff having information about that person and not sharing that information with me. I just cannot imagine that ever happening in my administration with my staff. I mean, my God, it's just nearly unbelievable that was allowed to happen. And those responsible, just let me say a word about the lieutenant governor. I know John Houston well. John Houston has had a long-standing, close relationship with First Energy. Why didn't he alert the governor to what was going on with this Sam Randazzo? I mean, it appears the fix was in, and First Energy and their lobbyists and their executives manipulated and pulled strings to get disappointment for Sam Randazzo But I'm not one to give a governor a lot of advice, but, oh, I would say, governor, people have betrayed you.
You know, governor,
they have injured you by apparently keeping vital information from you, and that's unconscionable.
Governor Strickland, this dinner that happens in December of 2018 after DeWine is elected and Husted is elected, but before they take office, this dinner that happens in which this is an issue, we want to have Randazzo as in this position. Now, you say certainly Husted knows about First Energy. He's at this dinner. Now, he doesn't say if he remembers what's going on at this dinner. And then there is a First Energy lobbyist and longtime DeWine advisor who's offering tips on how to lobby him by saying things like, explain things like DeWine doesn't know anything about it and be surprised when he does. That's a very odd thing to say. Nope, still there, Governor Strickland?
I am. And Scott, I don't know what's going on here. This has never happened to me before. I don't know if it's coming from my phone or your location. I'm not sure, but I really apologize for this.
Hopefully we'll work it out here, but I want to talk about this dinner, as I just had said. You know, the dinner about Randazzo, when Husted and DeWine meet to talk about this with some other people at the dinner, this is very interesting because Husted is there, and as you said, Husted certainly knows about First Energy. And a First Energy lobbyist and longtime DeWine advisor offered tips on how to lobby him, saying...
How to manipulate him. Yeah. That's what they were talking about, how to manipulate the governor. And some of his staff had to be aware of what was going on.
Well, and the quote here is strange. It says, explain things like DeWine doesn't know anything about it and be surprised when he does. It sounds like they think DeWine doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, and it's a way to manipulate. It's a way to ingratiate themselves with the governor by saying, "Oh, governor, I didn't understand that you had knowledge about all of these things." You know, you see what I'm saying? It was manipulation, and it's sad and pathetic. It really is. But Scott, I don't think this investigation is over with. You know, these state charges have been brought, appropriately so. And my speculation is these folks are going to spend a lot of years in prison. But my understanding is the feds haven't given up on their investigation. I think there could be additional indictments going forward, exposing people who've committed crimes that have not yet been exposed. So, you know, we'll have to see, but this is by far the greatest scandal that I'm aware of in all of Ohio's history.
You know, Governor Strickland, I just want to ask one more question here about Governor DeWine, because we talked about the comment in which he says you'll have to ask her, which is about his chief assistant knowing about this, and obviously he did not know. But about this dinner, when he's asked about this dinner, which was a dinner in which he was being lobbied to appoint this gentleman to this position, he says, "I don't remember his name coming up." And as of Tuesday, knowing what we know now, he's still saying there was no one who knew more, frankly, than about this than Sam Randazzo. So I guess, being the governor, he's at this dinner. Clearly the purpose of this dinner is to talk about this. Lobbyists are there to get this done with Husted. Husted is there. Why can't Governor DeWine remember? We're talking a lot about memory in people these days. Why doesn't Governor DeWine remember these things?
Well, I can't answer that question. It's a puzzle. But getting back to the governor saying, well, you'll have to ask her. Now, the person he's talking about is a person that I know and I've always had a lot of respect for. But she has worked for the governor for years and years and years. And the question that I would have, why hasn't the governor asked her? Instead of telling the media, they'll have to ask her. I mean, they work together very closely and have for many, many years. I can't imagine, you know, having a chief of staff and having an issue like this come up and say, hey, what's going on here? You know, I mean, so I'm puzzled by that. It's a sordid mess, and it's an example. It's an example of the corruption that occurs when there are relationships that are too close between powerful industries, especially the utilities and government officials. I mean, there needs to be an arm's length relationship. And obviously what's happened here is there's just been an attempt to manipulate the governor, and I'm not excusing him for that, but in order to get Sam Randazzo placed in this powerful position as chair of the Public Utilities Commission, a man who had been working for what I consider this rogue First Energy Corporation for years, and then to take him and put him in the chairmanship of the Public Utilities Commission, I mean, that should have raised red flags immediately. So what we have here is an example of how corruption can seep into government decision-making. And sometimes it's illegal, and sometimes it's just terribly bad decision making on the part of the government. But in this case, Ohioans lost, I read the same article that you read from the Dispatch this morning, Scott, and my friend, Professor David Niven was quoted as saying perhaps one of the things the governor could do to help save his legacy when it comes to this matter is to work to repeal the parts of that corrupt Senate bill that have not been repealed. For example, the subsidies that are still going to those who fired power plants, one of which is in the state of Indiana. Why should Ohio taxpayers be providing subsidies for this purpose? It just doesn't make sense. It needs to be repealed, and that's one of the things that the governor and the lieutenant governor and some of these people who are working in that administration could do, would absolutely cut strings with the terrible provisions of Senate Bill 6 that are still in place, that are costing Ohio taxpayers money every day.
You know, Governor Strickland, you sit in a unique position because you have had this position. You have been governor of the state of Ohio. And few people have at this point who are certainly still with us and could answer this question. Is it really feasible to believe, and I hate to go into speculation here, but you've been the governor. Is it really feasible to believe that when you're making appointments, you can be at a dinner with the lieutenant governor, who you say knows a lot about First Energy, You're there about making an appointment. You don't remember somebody's name coming up at this dinner. Your chief of staff, who you say the governor is very close with, you know about this person, knows about this payoff, never says a word to the governor about it, and he's just completely unaware of all this stuff, never hears a word about it until the raid actually goes down. Is that really feasible to believe? And is that how you run the state of Ohio? Can you run it that way and be that hands-off if indeed all that is true?
Well, to be that hands-off, in my judgment, when it comes to something like the chairmanship of the PUCO, to be that hands-off would be grossly naive or totally irresponsible. I mean, think of this. Think of this. Bam Randazzo received that multi-million dollar payout from First Energy, which he says was like severance pay, and I think the company has now acknowledged it was a bribe. And the governor's staff know about that and don't inform him? I just cannot believe that was just some mistake. I think either the governor knew and he's not telling the truth about it, or there was this purposeful effort to manipulate him into taking this action. I think it has to be one or the other.
Well, and
we need to know.
Well, and it's nearly 2 years, by the way, that his chief of staff knew. She knew in January of 2019. DeWine is saying he didn't know anything until the FBI searched Randazzo's home in November of 2020. Nearly 2 years, she knows about this, the chief of staff, and it never comes up between her and the governor. Never happens. And even though Governor DeWine had a whole dinner about this prior to becoming governor, and at that meeting, he doesn't apparently remember the name ever coming up, even though that's what the meeting is about, lobbying him to fill this position. You know, it's hard to believe that he wouldn't know.
Well, and Scott, I know Laurel Dawson, who has been with the governor for decades, I believe. But I think that something that may be relevant here is that her husband worked for First Energy.
Ooh.
And so, you know, they're just, you know, it's just a terrible convergence of bad mistakes or purposeful deceptions.
I have to ask you
and
this.
And I think we need to know. You know, the lieutenant governor is going to run for governor.
Yeah.
Well, I think the people of Ohio need to know exactly what part he played in all of this.
Well, I have to ask you this point blank, and again, I understand we really don't know, but as a former governor of Ohio, somebody who knows Mike DeWine, somebody who knows First Energy, you called him thuggish, somebody who knows a lot of the players in this, Governor DeWine's chief of staff, do you believe that Governor DeWine didn't know anything about this at all?
It's hard to believe. But I can't say, I can't say for sure, because I don't know how those who work for him, what actions they may have taken to cut him out of, you know, the real decision making. I just do not know. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to give Miss Dawson the benefit of the doubt. I said, you know, I know her. I've you know, politically we disagree, but I've always had respect for her. And I find this, you know, difficult to understand. I really do. And I don't want to pass judgment on, you know, on people unfairly. But I can tell you, this would never have happened in my administration.
No,
never. My chief of staff would never have kept information from me. It's impossible. John Haseley would never have kept information from me. And so I find it hard to understand. I don't know, you know, I guess every governor's office operates in different ways. But I can tell you, there were no secrets between me when I was governor and my staff persons, my executive staff people. We were open and honest with each other, and this never could have happened in my administration.
Let's take Governor DeWine at his word for a second, because right now that's all we have, and he didn't know anything about this until the FBI searched Mr. Randazzo's house. Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. Mike DeWine's the governor. He made the appointment. If he really didn't know anything about all this for what it's cost the state, should he be in this position with these answers of, I don't know, go ask her, I don't remember this? Is this somebody who's fit to be governor at this point? Because we're certainly talking a lot about that with the presidency right now.
Well, now, many of your listeners are going to be surprised to hear me say this, because I'm a hard-nosed Democrat, and Mike DeWine is a strong conservative Republican. But I think in terms of being governor, Mike DeWine has done some good things for the state of Ohio, especially when it comes to being an advocate for Ohio's children. So I want to give him credit, you know, for the positive he's done. I think he's done some negative things that I strongly disagree with. I've never considered Mike DeWine to be a dishonest or a corrupt person. And that's why I'm so puzzled by what's happened here. And the least that he should have done, in my judgment, is to hold those responsible if he was not told, if information was kept from him. Then he should hold those responsible for that, and to make sure they're no longer a part of his administration. And that part puzzles me too.
Does he have to take responsibility at some point for not knowing?
Well, as you said, you know, Harry Truman was right when he said the buck stops here. And when you are at the head of an organization, a company, or state government, you've got to ultimately be the one that has to answer for things that go wrong.
Do you think Mike DeWine needs to be more open about this or do something at this point?
I do. I would like for him to hold a press conference, to have the media there, and to stand for as long as it takes to answer every question that he receives about this matter. I think that would be good for the people of Ohio, and I really think that may be ultimately the best thing for the governor, because this is not going to go away. This is going to percolate out there. And as I say, I think there could be further indictments coming from the feds in this matter. So this is not going to fade away. People are not going to forget about it. There are going to be trials, and there are going to be witnesses and people testifying under oath. And eventually, whatever the truth is, the truth will come out. And I think it would be good to try to cause that to happen sooner rather than later.
Final question on this, Governor Strickland. If Mike DeWine doesn't hold a press conference, if he doesn't answer more questions, if he just leaves it at, I don't worry about my legacy, go ask her, I don't remember these things, should he remain as governor with those answers? Is that okay? Just to say, that's the way it was.
Well, the people elected him. And so, and at this point, he hasn't been charged with any criminal behavior or anything like that. Yes, I think he should remain governor, but I do think he should, be open and honest with the people about what's happened here.
Want to turn to another person that you know about, and that is current President Joe Biden. A report came out last Thursday, and I'm sure everybody is released about or aware of this by now, by Special Counsel Robert Hur, this report described Joe Biden, and this is a quote from it, as an elderly man with a poor memory. And during this report, during the question and answer period, apparently Joe Biden could not recall the time when he was vice president, and he could not remember dates and things that had to do with his late son's, Bo Biden's, passing away. When Joe Biden is the oldest person ever to run for president. He's the oldest president we've ever had. This has been an issue since Biden has been in office. How damaging is this report, from Special Counsel Robert Hur?
Well, first of all, let me say that I think the report was just reprehensible, over the top. I think if he needed to explain his decision about not bringing charges against the president, he didn't have to editorialize in the way he did. He could have said, you know, the president was unable to recall facts at times. But to say he was unable to remember when his son died, oh my God, that's reprehensible. And first of all, the special counsel is a lawyer. He's not a neurologist. He's not a psychologist. He's not a mental health professional. And he made judgments, I think, irresponsibly about Joe Biden's memory issues. There are different kinds of memory issues. Some are the result of the normal process of aging. Others are the result of a serious brain disorder like Alzheimer's and so on and so forth. That special prosecutor was not in any position to make judgments about his brain functioning, and that's basically what he did. I just think, I personally compare what he did to what James Comey did when he was, investigating Hillary Clinton's use of her server. And he said, she didn't commit any crime. I'm not going to prosecute her or bring charges, but. And then went ahead and, trashed her as being irresponsible and all that kind of stuff. I think it is very likely that cost Hillary Clinton the election. And here we are, several years later, and by the Justice Department did an investigation of what Comey did and deeply criticized him for that and even changed policy about what special prosecutors should or should not say when they did not bring an indictment against a person. So here we have this special prosecutor now. We're in an election year, and he says, you know, I'm not going to bring charges, and there was no reason, no valid reason to bring charges, but I want to tell you about this guy's memory problems. I just think that's reprehensible. And I do think it's a part of the Republican scheme to denigrate Joe Biden's ability to be president. My God, look what this man has accomplished. In my judgment, after only 2 years in office, Joe Biden has accomplished more than any president we've had in this country since Lyndon Johnson. Think of that. The bills he's gotten passed have just been transformative. I wish Joe Biden was a 65-year-old. And I wish Donald Trump was not a vile, vicious human being. Both of them have issues. But I would take a man who occasionally has a lapse of memory over a man who makes fun of disabled people, talks about grabbing the genitals of women. I could go on and on and on. I mean, the choice is so clear. And the choices are the choices that we have. No white knight is going to appear out of the ether and become the Democratic nominee. And obviously, Haley's not going to defeat Donald Trump from being the Republican nominee. So we have a choice between a good, decent, older man and a vile, angry, in my judgment, corrupt, older man. And so that's where we are.
Well, Governor Strickland, I have to ask you this. Here's the interesting thing about the whole thing. Is this going to hurt Joe Biden in the long run? I mean, here we are in February, and the election's in November. The cat's out of the bag. The report is out from the special counsel. How bad is this going to hurt him?
Well, the jury's still out on that. I don't think this incident itself will be particularly significant in terms of the outcome of an election. But I think it has just added fuel to the fire of what the Republicans have been trying to do for a long time, and that's portray President Biden as an inept person. And it's just not true. He's accomplished so much on a daily basis. And, and aren't we glad when it comes to things like dealing with Putin and the war in Ukraine and, other crises like the one in Gaza? Aren't we glad that Joe Biden is our president rather than Donald Trump? Biden is so experienced, so wise, so knowledgeable about other countries and their histories and circumstances. And Donald Trump is just an ignorant man. He is. He's just an ignorant man. And he talks, his method of talking is more like that of a fourth or fifth grader, quite frankly, and I don't want to insult fourth and fifth graders, but he speaks in crude, he uses crude language, exaggerated statements, you know, I'm the best, you know, he's just embarrassingly self-centered and egotistical. And Joe Biden's more of a humble kind of person, but I would take humility over braggadocio anytime.
Governor Strickland, two quick questions left in the 5 minutes we have here. A lot of people, certainly people on the Democratic side, are saying this is the most important election there has ever been for president because people feel if Donald Trump is reelected president of the United States that we will be under a dictatorship. That's the end of democracy. This has been said. You've heard this. People have heard this. Do you believe that if Donald Trump is elected, former President Trump, that democracy is gone?
I think that's a real possibility. I think Donald Trump really has no understanding of this country. No appreciation for the institutions that have been built up over the almost 250 years that we've existed as a country. So yes, I fear that our country would be changed forever if Donald Trump became president once again, because he's telling us what he intends to do. I mean, he's not being quiet about it. He's laying it out there. He's telling us he's going to have an administration devoted to revenge. He's talked about using the Justice Department to his own ends. I mean, he's very open about it. You've got to give Donald Trump credit for it. He's open about the terrible things that he will do if he becomes president again. And we ought to listen to what he's telling us and take it seriously. You know, a lot of people just say, oh, that's Trump being Trump. No. No, that's Trump telling us what kind of person he is and what he would do if he became president for a second time. And we ought to be serious and listen to that and understand what the threat is.
Governor Strickland, I've got to get your opinion on this before we let you go today. On Monday, we had former Governor Bob Taft on the program, great-grandson of former President William Howard Taft, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And just to give a little background on this, you both were on election morning on this program. And on that morning, kind of surprisingly, this former Republican governor, Bob Taft, in regard to Issue 1 and Issue 2, gave his feelings on how he was going to vote on Issue 2. But when it came to Issue 1 regarding abortion, Bob Taft, former Governor Taft, said that morning, election morning, that he had still not decided, he had not made up his mind how he was going to vote on that. A lot of people were shocked about this from this former Republican governor, again, lineage back to William Howard Taft. So when he came on Monday, Governor Taft was on Monday, we brought this up, and I said, Governor Taft, how did it end up? How did you vote on Issue 1? And Governor Taft said he voted yes on Issue 1. What do you make of Bob Taft, former Republican governor, voting yes on Issue 1?
Well, just let me say that I had tremendous respect for Bob Taft and his wife and his daughter. They are a wonderful family, and I'm not at all surprised. I expected Bob Taft would vote for Issue 1 because I don't think he's an ideologue. I think he understands that Ohio is not an extreme state, that what the Republicans in this state have tried to force on the people of Ohio is a very extreme approach to family planning and to the issue of abortion. So I'm not surprised. In fact, I would have bet money, quite frankly, on the fact that Bob Taft would have supported Issue 1. As I say, you know, Bob Taft is just a wonderful human being, and Francis and I are so fond of the entire Taft family, and he's principled, he's honest, he's smart, he's just a good human being.
Governor Strickland, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the program this morning. You've always been a pal to me over the years, and I hope we can call on you as time goes on. Being a presidential year and this whole First Energy thing continuing on, we always like to get your perspective on what's going on. So thanks so much for joining us this morning, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Well, I hope you and all of your listeners have a wonderful day, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Governor. Former Governor Ted Strickland, and this past Monday, former Governor Bob Taft. A two-governor week. Not too bad here. We're coming back in about 15 minutes with somebody who hasn't been on in 12 years. Once every 12 years, it comes around. This will be fun. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
My grandmother had worked in white people's houses, and she had always seemed disrespectful. She would come in and she would do the laundry. And after she had put the laundry and arranged it the way she wanted, the woman who owned the house and for whom she worked,